Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 says, "Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, "If I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in His name, His word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I cannot do it." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." I'd like to recommend a couple of books to you today, and I think they might be mentioned in your handout. But one is called Reading the Bible with Heart and Mind by Tremper Longman. The other is called Playing with Fire by Walt Russell. And I have a copy of that one here if you'd like to take a glance at it. Walt Russell insists that when we study the Scriptures properly, it's like playing with fire. It's a fire that can ignite dramatic change in our souls. It is possible. It is possible to develop the ability to study different passages of the Bible and to unlock their meaning for yourself and apply it to your life. When you understand what God has said to you, you will unleash a heart-transforming power that will burn away everything that displeases God and bring radical change to your life. Being able to understand the Bible for yourself will cause your character to become more like the character of Jesus. Do you remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? This Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we recall that after the resurrection of the Lord, He was walking along and He came to these two men who were going home, leaving Jerusalem, very discouraged, very disappointed and despondent because Jesus had died, and Jesus comes along and begins to talk with them. And Luke 24 says, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." And then when Jesus was revealed to them and they realized that He was resurrected from the dead, they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road and explained the Scriptures to us?" So what is your Bible study and your Bible reading experience like? Is the Word of God a fire that burns away everything in your life that is not like Christ? Or is it simply another cold, lifeless book on the shelf for the coffee table? Are you merely a reader and a hearer, but not a doer of the Word of God? The fire of the Bible refines us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. How does this happen? Let me share four ways in which the fire of God's Word can refine and shape your life. One is, we have to strike the match. We have to strike the match. We have to pick up the Bible and read it for ourselves. We are to be transformed and restored into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and the tool that He uses is His Word, the Bible, His message. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence, and He has given us great and precious promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." That's talking about what the Bible does for us and what the Bible does in us. Now, some people say, well, reading the Bible is like work. Some people say reading the Bible is like being in school. Some people don't see the payoff. How did we arrive at this when the Bible is the most exciting book that's ever written? What happened to the men on the road to Emmaus that caused their hearts to burn? It was Jesus talking to them about the Scriptures, the Word of God. And they had to think along with Him. They had to exercise their minds as He spoke. what if these two men had said, you know, I'm sorry, but this is just too much work, Jesus. You're using too much Scripture and you're going too deeply into the Bible for us. Can't you just give us a quick soundbite summary of all this stuff? Jesus has confidence in you. Jesus believes that you are capable of digesting the Word of God, thinking about it, and responding to it. He has given us the message. He intends for us to grab it, to understand it, to live by it. Then we will have better lives. We will have awesome lives. And I contend you don't need a Bible college degree or a seminary degree or a theology degree to understand the Bible, the Word of God. God has given us a story, a great story, a simple story. And with the tools we have available to us, we ought to be able to understand it. Don't use the excuse that I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated enough. God has given you His Word. He has confidence in you that you can pick it up, you can read it, you can understand it. And He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, the Holy Spirit is our guide, the Holy Spirit is our advisor, but we have to cooperate. We have to pick up the book and we have to read it. If you want life-changing heartburn, then pick up your Bible and begin to read it. Second method God uses in this is it works like a cosmic blowtorch. These are the writings of the Creator of the universe. Everybody wants to understand how it all began. How did life begin? Where did we come from? How did the universe get started? But they don't want to ask the Creator of it all. If there was a Big Bang, He was there when the Big Bang banged and He started the bang. He's the one who formed it all. He's the one who spoke it all into existence, and now He chooses to speak to us personally through this book. It's like a powerful blowtorch that gives a focused, intense, laser-like beam to the core of our lives. It is exactly what we need. It's what our community needs. It's what our culture needs. It's what our country needs. It is what the world needs. This flame will enlighten us and warm us, but not cook us. The Word of God torches the human-centered view of the world. It's fixation on personal happiness and personal gain. Got a clue? It's not about us. It's about the life that God wants to give us and the joy that we can have only through a relationship with Him. And that comes through self-sacrifice, not self-service. That's the life-giving way. So what is your viewpoint? Is your viewpoint that humans are basically good? If that's the case, I want to ask you, why are we in the mess we're in? The Bible says that since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, we are all basically evil. Always thinking about evil. The heart is desperately wicked, and only through a transfusion of the blood of Jesus Christ can we be turned from evil to good. That is the fiery message of the Word of God. What's the purpose of history? You find the purpose of history when you read history in the light of the Word of God. Do you decide what you will do or what you will not do based upon whether or not it will fulfill and satisfy you? If that's the case, you need the laser of the Word of God to change your thinking and change your direction, because it's not all about you. That's the message of the Word of God. There's a much bigger picture to history and to the world and to God's plan than little old us. Do you believe that God exists to meet your needs? He wants to. But that's not the purpose of God's existence. God does not exist to bless us. It's the other way around. We exist to bless Him, and then we find our fulfillment that we so desperately desire. Where do we learn about the purpose of our life and how to find fulfillment? In the light of the fiery Word of God. Does God have a plan for your life? Automatically we want to say yes, but Is it a personal plan? Is it a unique plan that's just for you and no one else? Here's what we learn when we understand the whole message of the Bible. God has a plan for creation. God has a plan for the world. God has a plan for humanity. God has a plan for history. We find out God's plan for our life, not by Him revealing to us some kind of script, but when we determine what God is doing in the world And when we determine what God is doing in history, and then we align our lives into that plan, then we begin to find out that we are not just living God's plan for our personal lives, we are part of God's bigger plan for the universe. So at the risk of messing you up, the question is not, oh God, what do you want me to do next week? What's this big decision I've got to make? Listen, figure out what God's doing in the whole wide world. Figure out what God's big plan is. How do you do that? The Bible. Then figure out how you can get into that. When you figure out what God's big plan is and you figure out how you can get into that, you won't be messing with, what have I got to do this afternoon? God, I'm sorry. I'm going to take just a second to go off my notes. My mom, years ago, congratulated a young lady in another church I pastored on the dress that she was wearing. My mom was just trying to come, oh, this is a nice dress. You have such a lovely dress on today. This young lady said, well, I woke up this morning and I went to my closet and I said, Lord, what would you have me to wear today? I know people have told you that God cares about the little details of your life, but I'm telling you, that's just plain foolishness. That is just plain foolishness. If we can figure out what God... Good, this is a group of men, isn't it? We'd never share that in mixed company. If we can figure out what the big plan is, then we fit our lives into the big plan. And a lot of the little questions would take care of themselves. And we can only do that by the Word of God. The third way God's Word does this in our lives, the message of God brings unity to God's people. When we all know what the Word of God says and we're all fitting our lives into the Word, we live in unity. We don't get bogged down by, you know what some people say when they are leaving one church for another church? They say, well, I don't like what's going on here. It just doesn't fit me. It's not designed to fit you. So most of you don't come to New Life, and that's fine. I hope you're going to a church. I hope you're actively involved there, and I hope you minister there and serve the Lord and serve your pastor there. But the ministry of New Life is not designed to fit individual people. So if they say, you know, I don't like what's going on here, it doesn't fit me. Good. That's the plan. It's not designed to fit you. It's designed to get you to fit into God's plan. If we're going to accomplish God's big plan, we must be in unity. And the only way to be in unity is discover the big plan and adjust our lives to fit into the big plan. That's in the Bible. We need to learn to look at the world in a different way. The Bible gives us the way to look at the world as God wants us to. It's been said that over 95% of what we learn comes from example. And in the Bible, we have real life examples. We have great stories that need to be heard and read and told again and again and again and again. You know, some of us have watched movies repeatedly, more times than we've read some of the great, exciting stories of God's Word. And there's stories of war, there's stories of love, there's stories of life, there are dramas in there about families and youth and children, stories of great tragedy and heartache, stories of entire nations and stories of specific individuals. And 1 Corinthians 10 says these things happen to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Romans 15:4, such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. The fourth way God's Word does this work in our lives is the fire of God's message purifies us. Anybody ever got a splinter in your hand? And then you take a knife, you want to dig the splinter out, but you don't want to infect it, so you take a match. Anybody ever do this? What my mom taught me to do. I saw her with a needle in the match to sterilize it before she dug that needle into my fingers. So then I put a match to a knife to purify that knife before I start digging into my finger to get the splinter out. The Bible burns through our sinful desires. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. So God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets. He spoke in the New Testament through Jesus. He speaks to us today primarily through His Word. The Bible is the voice of God to our generation. We are offered feedback on our ideas and our plans from the Bible. We get honest evaluation on our lives from the Bible. We can be cured of living stupidly by knowing the Bible. We can know what pleases God by knowing the Bible. We can know God cares for us by reading the Bible. We know what true values really are by knowing the Bible. Psalm 9, verses 7 and 8, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. An ancient king asked the prophet Jeremiah, "Is there a word from the Lord?" Jeremiah had been thrown in a prison dungeon on false charges of treason. He was accused of conspiring with the enemy, but the king realized that Jeremiah was a prophet of God. He sent for Jeremiah to ask him this question, "Is there a word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is." Many people today are asking the same question. Many people have given up on the so-called organizational church. And there are many preachers who just seem to be great entertainers and storytellers, but they don't do much study and there's not much teaching from the Bible. In Playing with Fire, Walt Russell said, "It was not until I had logged 10 or 12 years as a Christian that I realized the Word of God was written to be understood by humans and was designed to be life-changing when applied to our lives. Up to that point, I viewed reading the Scriptures like singing the national anthem at a sporting event. The Scriptures would be read at the beginning of the event, however, like singing the anthem. The Bible would then have absolutely nothing to do with the study or the class or the service." There are those today that are searching for a word through various cults. Some are your children, some are your parents, some are in schools, students and teachers. Is there a word from the Lord today? There is. And it's written for you in the Bible. That's the word from the Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ is the central character in this book, and Jesus Christ is the Word. He reveals the Word. So when we read the Word of God, it's playing with fire. It's a raging, burning, purging, cleansing, transforming fire. So I want to challenge you to get close to the flame. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit will use it to make you like God the Son, Jesus Christ. Father, today our stomachs are full of noodles, potatoes, but make us hungry for Your Word. And make us open and willing to receive the change that Your Word will bring into our lives. And bless the discussions. May the discussions around the table be life-giving. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.